Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Lyle.
I'm Wayne. Ooh, I knew you'd do that time. Mix it up a little bit. I waited. I said, will Lyle go second? Yes,
always
he did. All right.
Keep them guessing.
Except I guess what you would do.
I'll keep them guessing correctly.
All right, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
I like that.
Everybody's happy.
Mm. Yeah. So, what's going on, guys?
Watched a movie recommendation from Lyle.
Yeah, Jennifer's Body.
Yep.
Cool.
And that was a nice body.
But I thought Chris was going to do that joke. He really kept me guessing.
Yeah, beat him to it. But, we were discussing it today, and I'm curious, so why did you recommend it? Because I thought you recommended it for a reason, and then that reason turned out to be completely wrong, so.
It was better than I expected, so just thought maybe you would enjoy it.
Okay.
Did you? I suppose you're recommending it, so yes, but.
I didn't dislike it. Mm-hmm. And going on Lyle's other recommendation of The Inbetweeners, and after I finally watched it, I said, hey, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
Maybe his recommendations have some merit, so I'll watch this as well. You
know. The movies are the TV show.
How long have you guys
been
friends?
You didn't watch that. I recommended it.
Didn't
you?
Yeah.
Well, The Inbetweeners?
No, you haven't watched The Inbetweeners either.
Dungeon Masters.
I was saying to Wayne earlier is if Transformers hadn't been Megan Fox's breakout role, I think Jennifer's Body would have been a breakout role.
Really?
So I'm kind of surprised that
did it have a theatrical release?
Yeah. Okay. I believe it bombed.
Okay.
And I can see why. Horror movies can be hit or miss in a theatrical release. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's doing better on DVD. But I thought she did well in it. She did what she needed to do. It was a good job.
Hmm.
I know people pan her acting, but that was pretty good. Hmm.
Yeah, acting-wise, I thought it was pretty good for the role that she was in.
Yep. So she certainly wasn't the weakest link.
No.
Well, what do you think?
I thought it was pretty interesting. Most of the movie I don't want to, spoil anything, sorry, or to steal your word. I thought it was pretty neat, I think was the other one you went with.
It was good.
It was good. I was mostly trying to figure out what was going on, but what the main character was, because I didn't do any research about what kind of movie it was before. Kind of didn't even realize it was going to be a horror movie. But then,
even though the cover is written in blood,
I guess that's one of the drawbacks for stealing it.
I thought it was a cheerleader movie.
Yeah.
That's all I noticed on the cover.
Yeah.
Blood and boobs. What else do you need?
Yeah, really. So anyway, I spent at least the first half of the movie trying to figure out what the character was after this kind of ordeal she went through.
But I guess it raises a good point. I know we were talking about werewolves in our first creature feature. And we're talking about what people associate with werewolves, and then we also mentioned vampires and what people associate with vampires. But when you pick something that's not one of those, and there's the big spoiler, it's not a vampire, it's not a werewolf, then you have a lot more freedom because people don't have a lot of background knowledge of...
Yeah, you can't do it wrong.
Yeah, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then you can actually keep people guessing because people are like, well, what is it? What is she?
Yeah.
You know, what are her weaknesses? What does she need to get her power or not get her power?
I suppose spoiler alert, because I'm just curious, what did happen?
Seeing as how you said you have no time, will you ever see the movie?
No.
And how about you, listeners? Will any of you?
Well, I didn't say spoiler alert, so.
Well, she's a demon.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty broad.
She gets possessed by a demon, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty broad.
Yeah.
So there's a lot you can do with that, and people aren't going to say, what's the way to defeat a demon or not to defeat,
Yeah, I guess demons.
What are their powers and that? So you basically add anything in and then do what you need to do for the story. Like, this is how it's created. This is how it's defeated. Mm. This is what will happen if that. And you just add it in as fits your story.
Cool.
So I guess there's a case, if you have a game, is to use an unknown or less well-known monster, and you can do what you want.
If you pick zombie, werewolf, instead of vampire, if you pick sort of the classic stuff, there's, for lack of a term, baggage mm-hmm. attached to those creatures. So people will kind of know, okay. Or they'll assume one thing, and if you give them something else, either they will be confused or say, that's not how zombies are supposed to work, sure. and then your story right. kind of falls apart into a rules argument.
Yeah, actually, you're supposed to hit them in the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're brain dead, so it doesn't matter if you hit the brain. And you're like, oh, okay, well, it'd be nice if you had told us that. Yeah. Just, well, I wanted that mystery. And it's like, yeah, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think, the point of that is choose something that's not well-known or something that could kind of be anything if you want to go that route.
And do, like, you know, in Supernatural, a lot of the point of those episodes is finding out how to defeat the monster of the week. Mm-hmm. And then...
There was some of that in the movie, yeah. Anyway,
I suppose just to segue into it, Changeling was a good choice of that for you, because that there is such a large pool of different kinds of monsters and creatures to go with.
Yes and no, which we'll address later on. But yeah, the cat's out of the bag, essentially. So this episode
surprise.
Is
gonna be, yeah, surprise.
That's just like did someone ever throw like a surprise party for you, and they kind of like didn't hide before you walked in the door?
Actually, it'd be like if. Since the episode's gonna have probably like change campaign confessions changeling or something.
Yeah.
It'd be like if there was a happy birthday above the door of your front door and you're like, oh, happy birthday me. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then you walk in and everybody goes, surprise. Yeah. Or they have like awkward conversation about Jennifer's body. You know, in the hallway before you go into the living room.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect analogy.
I think that's a good analogy. So anyway, moving on. Open the front door, pass the happy birthday banner. The mediocre surprise. Yeah, today is campaign confession.
And I'm pregnant! surprise.
anyway, campaign confessions, Changeling, which will be a little bit different from campaign confessions, Vampire, in that it uses the same system, World of Darkness, so that we won't be discussing...
And also, it's not about vampires. Also,
I'm thinking the same. All right. So, yeah, we obviously will not be discussing the World of Darkness system.
Well, I think people are going to be probably less familiar with the Changeling.
I'd imagine
If you want to tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so I think maybe I brought this up in a previous one, but the premise of Changeling the Lost is fairies are real. They kind of have another dimension that they live in, and they steal people from our world to act as various menial slaves, servants, laborers, warriors, whatever, and sometimes those people are able to escape this realm and make their way back. But unfortunately, when they come back, just like the changeling of European myths, mm-hmm. A duplicate has been left in their place. So many times the people who came back were not even missed because this thing was left in your place that looks, acts, speaks, and essentially is you to the outside world. Hmm. And there could be differing amounts of time as well that you've spent in this other realm. It could be 10 years or 100. So.
Cool. So yeah, that's a basic premise of Changeling.
Yeah. Oh, and I should say the...
You play a half-fairy.
Yeah, the PCs are sort of these changeling that have escaped and managed to come back.
Hence Changeling, the Lost.
The idea behind the Lost being that... the idea being you no longer have a place, right? You've escaped one place and come back and found out that someone has taken your place.
So you can't...
You essentially can't go back.
Can't go back home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
And, So basically, as Chris said, not many people knew about the setting to the point where none of the players knew about it.
I'd heard about it before.
I'd heard about it,
yeah.
But I wasn't interested in it.
Yeah, and
so you said it was that, more of like a willful.
You said that right up from the get go.
Yep.
As a GM, I appreciate. I think.
Well, I actually said it before. I said, "Oh, I'm not interested in Changeling, and I never want to play it." And I said that before you went home for holidays and came back with a Changeling book, saying,
"Hey,
I'd like to run Changeling." What was I going to do? Oh,
I thought you. Sorry,
that sounds pretty good. Yeah. Changeling.
I thought you meant Changeling the Dreaming, which was the previous incarnation of Changeling.
It's kind of more the same, but
yeah, fair enough. Okay.
So I didn't want to I couldn't backtrack.
Actually, I'd originally planned to read Werewolf. I got that at the same time.
My brother stole
it and read that, and I read Changeling and actually then really liked it.
You have the toughest time with books. Your Christmas present books you had to pay for. Your brother steal your other one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took it back with me, but anyway.
Hmm. Yeah. And you were going to run Vampire Dark Ages, and I made two characters for that. And
I didn't make you make two characters.
I think I made three.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they were all the same one. This.
But we didn't play that game.
No, we didn't.
No. So we played Changeling.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right in that we were, although we knew a little bit about the game, we hadn't cracked open a book, so we didn't know all the different features of it. So what did you do to...
I actually used your awesome idea that you discussed in the nice casual trade.
Well, they don't know who you're looking at.
Sorry, Lyle. That's who you want. The name recognition. The name drop. I used Lyle's awesome idea.
The audience can't see right now that they're hugging.
Whoa, whoa. No, not, let me disentangle myself. So as Lyle said, I'm just trying to build up a wall of humor, all right? So as Lyle said,
kind of like one of those on the couch, like the I'm not gay pillow between you.
Yes. So as Lyle said during Campaign Confessions Vampire, what he did with, I think it was Tom's character.
Tom's character, yeah.
The new vampire didn't know anything and just kind of sort of presented... The player would learn about the setting along with the character.
Right. Newly embraced vampire.
And I was actually slightly jealous because the way you ran it with Tom, I'm like, that's awesome. You did a great job doing that. And I'm not disliking the way I was introduced. I'm kind of like, I wish that sort of happened to me because that sounds like it'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I said, hey, in Changeling, none of the players know about this setting. Here's an opportunity for me to do that with everybody. And so that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I just said, okay, you guys make your mortal characters. And then, again, suggested by Lyle, I'll take those characters and I will apply the Changeling template.
Yeah, the reason was is I actually still didn't really want to read the book, Changeling book, even though we were going to play it. So I said, oh, you just, whatever. You just give me whatever. And then I said, oh... Why don't you do that for everybody? Like, we all come out together, or whatever the mechanism is, and we're all, like, new, lost.
Yeah, and I think it worked to great effect.
It worked well, because it fit with the theme, because that's essentially what happens to the characters in the game, right? They have no choice over what they become.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it reflected, you know, the mechanics of giving you a character reflected the setting.
Hmm.
And so that's what I did. I just kind of stole your character sheets, gave you some powers... and then, coming from Vampire, I said, okay, in most White Wolf games, you really need to give them the party a strong sense of unity, or else the party might break apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had you all sort of come out of this other realm in the same place.
Same time.
At the same time, like one on top of the other, and kind of left it what?
Sorry.
This is the art of seduction of being juvenile again?
We never stopped, really.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. So anyway, yeah. Hoping that kind of... You're all sort of newly arrived characters in this place, don't know what's going on, would hopefully kind of force you together as a group, or at least give you more reasons to stay together as a group.
Yeah.
So, don't know if that worked or not. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So, I guess, Lyle, you don't really have any opinion, but did that enhance or detract from playing that character? Having no control of sort of what powers you got.
Yeah, no, I didn't have an opinion because I didn't really... I was never... When you presented Changeling, I know, like, Chris went, oh, Dark Fairy Tales? That sounds awesome. I was really feeling nothing.
Outvoted already at that point?
No, I would have went along with whatever. I've gone along with whatever people suggest.
Mm.
No opinion.
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
Because it was the first time I thought it was a great idea. If we were going to do another one, I probably would want to make it myself, but I don't think I would say no if you wanted to do the same thing again. All dropping this all together in the same place, I think it worked better in Vampire because there were the other PCs to kind of guide Tom through his opening session.
Mm.
But in Changeling, like, we had to rely entirely on the NPCs, on you.
Yeah.
So I think it was more difficult in that sense, because you also had to balance like how three people were reacting instead of one, and there was no, you had to make all decisions of how much and what to say.
Oh, that's true, and also you guys gave me, I mean, part of the fun of being a DM is not knowing which way you go, and you guys gave me reactions that I wasn't expecting at several times. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess it was, yeah, juggling three new, sort of new players at the time can be a challenge, so if other DMs out there are thinking of doing similar things and sort of starting newbie players all in the same place, maybe think about that. Mm-hmm. So
I think more so than other games, you could do that because you can all stumble out of this thing called the hedge, or which is like kind of like an in between
border realm, yeah,
border realm between the fairy world and our world. So where I think in like a game like Vampire or something, it'd be quite unusual for three vampires to be changed in the same location,
mm-hmm.
and then perhaps being from different. Or being different types of vampires from different clans. And whereas that, you could just kind of, we all kind of met in the hedge and stumbled out.
And especially because of World of Darkness, when the vampire wakes up for the first time, like they're very wild, ravenous, go crazy. It'd be really hard to start off a party with three berserkers.
Well, you kind of almost did. One of the characters almost shot a major NPC because I made the mistake of letting him fall out of the hedge with the gun since he was part of the army.
I think that's, there's a sense of paranoia in the game.
In
Changeling, and I thought, you know, giving us all, we all had these golden puzzle pieces that
that was cool.
That all fit together, and I thought perhaps that was one of the best uses of props, because we somehow were linked, so we kind of have to stay together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I actually gave all the players a little cardboard puzzle piece that I had painted up gold. Just in case they didn't realize. Not that I went out and bought a gold puzzle piece and gave it to you.
In case you don't speak English, Wayne just translated it into English.
Yes, yeah, so what he did was he bought three puzzle pieces.
All right! All right! Moving on!
This is a puzzle.
All right.
I thought that was really good. I think what is the challenge is, it's apparent. There's a certain sense of paranoia in the game. So I thought, my character is like, I didn't really enjoy the Fairyland. Mm-hmm. And now we're just encountering more fairies or lost.
Mm.
So why would we associate with them? We'd be quite guarded in our dealings with them. And I think that presented you with a challenge because you were expecting us to be a lot more dependent on these NPCs than we were.
Yes.
And we were like, well, now we're in the real world. Let's go. And the only people we can trust is ourselves because we have these puzzle pieces or whatever.
I was not expecting that, which I guess kind of...
So we were pretty anxious to leave.
Right.
And hindsight being 2020, I should have had the courage as a GM to just scrap what I had planned and said, okay, if that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do, and just rolled with that. Well, they weren't punches, but rolled with that idea rather than trying to keep you in this world, which is what I did. So I guess that kind of brings me to a point of the way things are presented in the setting book versus the way you as players perceived them could be quite different, which is what I was sort of finding out. The way they're sort of presented in the book, the Lost, they kind of cling together almost as like a support group.
Yeah, I actually didn't like that about the game. I thought it was like a bunch of victims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
just
hard
hanging
to find
out.
Heroes.
Yeah. I guess people have said that Changeling can be sort of, I guess maybe one of the darkest of the World of Darkness books, in that kind of everybody's essentially like an abuse or a rape victim.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of like damaged goods hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess I should have just let you go and created a story. So that being said, trying to show you the mechanics kind of as things went along, which is what I tried to do, sort of put instances of other people using these mechanics, either NPCs or an opportunity for you to do them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that worked, sometimes that didn't. Like a specific example, sort of harvesting the energy that you use in this world. You harvest it from emotion, and I had set up a situation where you saw hopefully you saw one of the NPCs doing this.
So getting the glamour.
Getting the glamour. Yeah, harvesting emotion from someone. And unfortunately, the player who saw it said his character was so focused on something else, didn't tell the other people.
There was a perception roll.
There was a perception roll. Only one person made it. And
that happened to be the player
who was most tight-lipped.
Yeah, that was Yujiro.
I love him, but he's tight-lipped. So he sat on the mechanic, and I, as a GM, I kind of said, shit. So... And then Chris or Lyle, your character tried it later.
Chris tried it as well.
It didn't work for him, unfortunately. So it kind of works like blood points in
Vampire. Maybe, yeah, if you could explain the glamour and
okay. So basically,
because I could explain it, but I would probably give it like a negative connotation.
Oh, that's
because you've presented it as very neutral.
Yeah. So supposedly. Changelings sort of harvest a strong emotion. They mm-hmm. they get energy from emotion. Mm-hmm. It doesn't harm the person that they take from, so it's not like feeding in the sense of a vampire. But it's sort of any strong emotion.
I would say you're like a psychic vampire, and I'm not saying like Vampire the Requiem. You've said that there's no drawbacks or disadvantages to it.
No.
Yeah, you said that.
That there isn't. It's sort of.
But there is. You become like this. You become less moral or more amoral because you're forcing strong emotions, and perhaps they could be positive emotions, but you're basically manipulating people emotionally.
Yeah.
In order to feed from them, so I do see that as there are some drawbacks to doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
one example is
pleasurable.
Well, if you use the classic, Supreme Court example, you go into a movie theater and yell fire and everybody, storms out.
Yep.
You feed off that of negative emotion, but, that's a bad thing to do because you're creating a panic.
Yeah.
Chris, when he had the unsuccessful attempt, he tried to get the homeless person to think about why they became homeless. And the guy just kind of left, I don't want to talk about this.
I think what Chris was going for is maybe you're going for sorrow. As the emotion.
You're right, but he was manipulating this guy's emotion. He was trying to draw a negative emotion.
Yeah.
But even if you were giving somebody a positive emotion, you're not making that person happy because you want that person to be happy. You're making them happy so you can feed from them.
Right.
Don't care.
It's not altruistic.
You're like a sociopath. Yeah.
Yeah. I meant there's no physical harm as a drawback for the person you feed from.
So, but then it's like emotional abuse versus physical abuse.
Okay, yeah, that's a good way to argue it. And. Yeah. That's sort of part of something that attracted me to the setting. I kind of liked that dark, you could go either way, and you essentially are...
There was no light, the way I viewed it.
Yeah, okay.
But, so you can go dark or darker.
Yeah, dark. So let's see, we can go dark gray or black. Which one do you want?
Yeah.
But... So anyway, I guess... It was slightly difficult to get across because, unlike Vampire... nothing happens to the player character when they run out of glamour. So a vampire runs out of blood points, they fall into torpor and don't wake up. A changeling with no glamour points doesn't really feel anything.
Can't use the powers, but
yeah, they can't use
maybe
the powers,
he can use the powers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's because in Vampire, people kind of understand you need blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because vampires feed on blood. Right. And in changeling, you go, you need glamour. What's glamour? Well, glamour is like an mm-hmm. emotional energy. What?
Yeah.
I think that's the response I got sometimes. What?
Right. So, and I will say this, I was intending to bring this up later. I felt there's a lot of things in Changeling that were tacked on to follow the World of Darkness settings or model or template, such as in Vampire the Requiem, you have five clans and you have five covenants.
Mm-hmm.
Just for people who hadn't listened to that episode, clans are kind of like.
Family,
the different types of vampires, and covenants are kind of different types of organizations.
Right.
And they have a blood pool, which is like you think about that as like a power battery, but also their food.
Yep.
And that makes sense for vampires. Then when you go to changelings, you've got different types of changelings and different organizations. Okay. And then you've got this like emotional battery, and you're like, okay, that's power points, but...
Yep.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was trying to make it too much like Vampire the Requiem.
Hmm.
And where one thing fits because you go, yeah, vampires need to feed on blood. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that makes it. That's what vampires are. And here's, fairies need to feed on emotions. Really? Why? Well,
Hmm.
And again, that was, And I think there were certain things, at least the way I perceived them in this game, it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And I could like, and you know, I went with it. Oh, all right, we need to feed on emotions.
Yeah,
you were saying like, oh, you go to like a sports arena and feed off the emotions there. And like, oh, okay, I get you.
Yeah.
I can see what we could do with that, but it didn't really seem that integral to my character,
mm-hmm.
either as the mortal or as the lost. That I felt I had to really think about it a lot.
It was more difficult, too. Because when you play a vampire, you buy into your vampire, you drink blood.
Right.
You know, that's...
Exactly.
But with this one, it's kind of like, you could walk into a movie theater and yell fire, but man, that's really taking a step in, like, a bad moral direction. It's kind of... Even if you're giving happy feelings, you're still manipulating people.
Right.
It's something that I suppose is just expected when you play a vampire, but... I guess without expectations as...
I don't mind that you do become these, like, emotional parasites.
It's a dark game, so...
Yeah, I didn't mind that. I was taking issue when Wayne said there was no drawbacks or there's no damage being done. That was my point there. But I guess in vampires, like, feeding is your life.
Mm-hmm.
It replaces sex. It replaces food and all of that. And here, it doesn't replace anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But it... You know, vampire, you can't separate it. And that's part of the game, is you can't separate it from here. It's just like, oh, just a moment, guys, I'm going to go yell fire in the theater just to charge up.
Yeah.
It seems like just an aside. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, maybe I'll tag along and try to soak up some of that energy myself.
But
all right, cool, we're topped up.
Yeah, in your game,
now,
what's
next in the game?
Yeah. Nobody had to, like, take time out to go and do it. In fact, I don't think we ever did
Apart from the one attempt everybody made...
And that was just
that
trying
was
to do
that was,
it.
Yeah, that was more of like, okay, let me see how this mechanic works, sort of thing.
Okay, that's how it works, all right.
But I'll say this, it does feel a little bit tacked on, because unlike Vampire, where if you run out of blood points, you're essentially going to die.
Yeah.
You can voluntarily choose to starve yourself of glamour to sort of lower your weird, which is your power stat, and essentially become more human.
Yeah.
So... That could be a tricky thing to do, because in Vampire, there's no going back, right? You are a vampire. You have to deal with it. In Changeling, hey, there's a way I could actually sort of become more human. It might be difficult, but I could do it. So I think that's a pretty hard mechanic.
That said, because of that. Speaking of the mechanics, like with the magic there, each of the powers in Changeling, I think all of them, had some kind of catch,
yes.
Which was some kind of special action that was very... had like a very old-worldly kind of fairy tale feel to it. And I thought that was a great mechanic. Like, I thought that led to a lot of role-playing opportunities.
Yeah, sort of each power, you either spend glamour points to activate it, and then it's a reliable activation, usually. Or, yeah, you have a catch.
Yeah,
because
I think my
I like the catch. And I think that was a problem, is we all tried to do our catches.
And that was more
because
fun
it,
than...
Yeah, it was more interesting to try to do the catch. So, again, it seemed like glamour was just kind of tacked on, so that followed the same pattern as the previous World of Darkness. Games, whereas the catch was kind of unique to Changeling, so we tried to do that, and it kind of led to like interesting debates. Well, what do you mean I can't do this?
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, like,
what do you mean I'm not imitating?
I was pushing too hard on that one.
Yeah, I think you were.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's the guy who kept getting shut down on one of my.
I agree. I was like,
your catches are pretty nebulous, though. It was hard to say like if you're doing it or not. Like mine was spend an hour in the dark. So okay, I slept in the closet. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was just because you wanted to be crazy.
Oh, well, no, they fed into it well, but...
Yeah, it did. But, yeah, all right. So, I probably pushed too hard on that, because at that point, I kind of wanted you to say, just burn the glamour, right? Just burn the glamour so that you can try and feed.
Right.
So, I suppose I just should have let you do it and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so another part of the changing setting is what are called pledges. So, similar to kind of fairy tales, you always have the story about people making deals with fairies, and usually the person comes out, I guess, either worse for it, unless they're the smart person, and then they manage to, you know, trick the fairy or the whatever and get some kind of reward, and they have that in the Changeling setting. Again, I tried to show you guys through an interaction with an NPC, but that was pretty much the only time it got used.
Yeah, well, it was the mechanics for pledges are really complicated, and it's kind of one of those things that's hard to describe out in a realistic sense. It'd almost be like if we were playing Dungeons & Dragons, a fighter telling you, well, to hit this guy, you have to roll a die. It just doesn't seem to work out in a live thing. It's something that's better read.
Yeah. And,
yeah, it didn't come across. Yeah, I mean, you would have had to just pull out the book and then read from it.
Yeah, that would have been...
And nice. You make these rolls, and it has this effect. I didn't 100% understand it as a player, and as a character, I would be like, well, contracts are designed to benefit the person who knows more about the contract. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's like the person who knows the fine print in a contract is the person that's going to benefit from it. So why would I want to initiate something that I'm a novice at?
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, well, I just don't want to do it. And there was actually came a point in your game where we walked out of a situation where we had to engage in one of these pledges because we're like, well, you know, who knows what will really happen.
Right.
So see you. And then we kind of like, at least on my part, begrudgingly went along just so we could go through this and try to like manipulate the wording of this pledge. Because at first you were quite resistant to change the wording. No, this is the way it is. It is this pledge is what it is.
Yep.
This is the one on the ship.
Yeah, it's the one on the ship.
And yet, like, even after that, like, I didn't fully understand it. Like, as soon as we walked off, I broke the contract.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because
So I guess a little setup. You guys, your characters went to this this place, and I decided it was a pretty dark place to try and find this sort of, I guess, magical pet for a character. And the proprietor of the shop, because that's what it was, basically had a contract where if you signed the contract, she showed you around and you saw the wares. But the catch was you could never speak of where you got this thing.
Which is a bit odd. I mean, a business doesn't want any advertising.
Right. Yeah. Well, the idea behind it was she sells some pretty shady stuff.
Right, and that came across. Yeah. So we were like, if we see like people enslaved, why would we want to keep that a secret?
Right.
So I wanted that to come across. I kind of wanted it to be sort of a...
Well, yeah, and I think that's what happens is it's like you want that to come across.
Right.
But a natural reaction is, well, then I won't sign this pledge.
Which actually would have been fine.
And then we walked out.
Yeah, which I was fine with.
Right, but then one of the players...
One of the players wanted to go back.
Like, all right.
Yeah.
Then I think I as GM said, okay, well, you know what? He wants to do this. No one else is going to do it. I'll tweak the contract a little bit so it's more palatable to them to kind of move the story along. Because I think at that point...
At that point,
it kind of ground to a halt. But, I think, as you said, that's one of those things, like, you can't explain in-game. You kind of have to bust out the book and say, here are the building blocks to do it.
I agree, yeah.
So speaking of creepy.
Right.
The whole, I guess, overtone of the game is supposed to be kind of creepy, and you don't exactly know what's going on, and sort of things aren't really what they seem, because these, basically anything from fairy has sort of its true self, and then sort of an illusionary mask it puts up that mundane people see.
Mm-hmm.
So
somebody with bug eyes would look normal to the average person.
Right, right. Or, the lizard skin guy would look normal. Yeah.
Or goat legs, regardless of how many layers of track pants she had.
Yes. I think I had her in a skirt.
Did you?
Whoa. Maybe.
Oh. You need a bucket.
So, yeah, the whole theme of Changeling is supposed to be madness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And can you really trust your perceptions?
Well,
it's
called a storytelling game of beautiful madness.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty hard to convey. I think it's hard to convey madness and paranoia. I started to a little bit, but I'm honestly not sure if it worked.
Definitely. Like, in this... Paranoia is not paranoia when it's real. I know it's kind of a cliched line, but, I mean, when there was one episode where we started hearing voices of, like, fairies. I think somebody dropped a knife or shattered a mirror or something, which can show the fairies where you are and they might come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started, like, hearing voices and seeing odd things from that. But if this were a real world, you know, if we actually, the three of us, went out to lunch and we started hearing voices, that's pretty creepy. But in a world where there's magical creatures all over the place and half of them have the ability to turn invisible or whatever, that's not paranoia. I mean, that's not creepy. That's more I don't know, it's more scary than creepy, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah, it's more of a real threat than kind of a foreboding kind of threat.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, am I going mad? Because you would just go, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, you know, that kind of reality, or that barrier between the different realities is just breached a little bit.
Hmm.
And someone's explaining it to you. Yeah, if you do this, then, you know, this will happen. Or, yeah, some people will hear voices. It happens. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't become, you know, it's not a descent into madness if you were, like, normal people. Or a very famous game, Call of Cthulhu, where you're normal people and you start to, you have that insanity mechanic. And I don't know. I mean, you explained something from one of the books where you had, like, a postal carrier getting killed by one of the lost because he viewed the postal carrier or something. Could you explain that story?
Yeah,
that scene.
It was just the
like
the
madness.
It was the front panel of one of the supplementary books, and they always had kind of like a picture and a little story.
Yeah.
And the story was from the perspective of this changeling who's gone mad, and he saw everything almost as a fairy tale. And the picture was this pretty grim picture of all these dead bodies around him in an entryway, who used to be his friends, as he's getting ready to stab this helpless postal carrier worker, because the changeling's mind was so snapped that he saw this guy as like a spy or an agent, and he could no longer separate reality from sort of the fantasy realm that he had escaped.
And I think that would work if there was less changelings or less lost. And I think it's one of the problems where the kind of the scale of the economics of the game just doesn't match what it's trying to do. There's just too many of these lost hanging around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for one thing, there's a big support network. Another thing is, Chris is talking about, everybody's kind of has the same experience, so they'd be like, yeah, no, that's a postal worker.
Yeah.
That's a letter carrier. Mm. He's not, you know, this. We kind of walk you through it. It's like going on a bad trip,
mm-hmm.
and you got all these people going, man, it's a bad trip. We'll give you some oranges. and then there's just too much changeling infrastructure.
Mm.
And it break. Not only does it interfere with your descent into madness, but it also interferes with just kind of the concept of the game. Is there's these fae, let's say, let's call fairy is the real bad guys,
yeah,
and the lost are what the changelings are, the player characters. But the fairies are coming after you, and yeah, well, we're pretty easy to find because there's so many of us, and we're all hanging out together. And you could say, well, you're hanging out together for support to battle these fairies, but would you? I don't know. And I also, I'll talk a little bit more about when I talk about the courts,
we
but I think
actually,
they just kind of ape everything.
We could actually talk about it right now.
Okay.
Because,
as long as we're on this rant of it.
Yeah. I agree. Because one of the, I think the courts, supposedly in the support structure, there are four different courts, kind of based on, the four seasons. And the way they're presented in the book is that the lost have sort of attached themselves to this earthly phenomena in order to gain protection from the fairies, this otherworldly realm. But
the courts are like the spring court, the summer court, the autumn court, and the winter court, which is a fairy phenomenon from fairy legend.
Yeah, which is weird because they...
So if players are going to like metagame this, they're going to be going, oh, so you're adopting a fairy court system to differentiate yourself from the fairies. And that's what came up in the game.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. Why would you ape the mannerisms and the structure of the fairies? And I guess, Wayne, if you could explain, maybe the fairies don't...
Yeah, so...
The actual fairies apparently don't have this.
Yeah, the actual fairies apparently don't have courts.
And this is my problem with the game. What I think they did is Changeling the Dreaming had where you played just fairies. You don't play lost, you play fairies. And they have the court system, and people who play Dungeons and Dragons or other fantasy systems that have like fey creatures will be familiar. Those are the Spring Court, the Winter Court, these different court systems. So everybody's going to naturally assume that these courts are what the fairies have. But this game has decided, no, we like the court systems So they kept that from Changeling, the dreaming. They kept this court system and concept from Changeling the dreaming, which actually is tied to fairy legends.
Right.
And they said, well, we actually want you to play Lost, but we don't want to get rid of this court system. So we're going to say that the Lost have the court system and not the actual fairies, which does not make sense. So what it appears to be is that the Lost, although they've escaped to the regular world, they're now aping the world they escaped. And that did not make sense to me. And that did not come across, because I would be like, hold on. Fairies have a winter court and a spring and a seasonal court system. People don't have that. So why are you adopting the winter queen or the summer king? Why would you do
especially
that?
If you work so hard to escape from
that
world.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it kind of seems like, oh, we're you have the boogeyman of the fairies, but okay, let's run away from them, but let's not actually hide from them, or let's not actually actively fight them either. So that's how that's why the game comes across to me. Then why are you hanging out? Because you're you know, like it's like going to like a victim's, you know, like spousal abuse group, you know, group therapy or support group, and to kind of like take something that everybody knows from legend is part of the Fae, in Dungeons & Dragons, be part of the Fae Wild, or and then say, well, the fairies actually don't have that. That's only for the Lost. Then that didn't make sense. Because then it's like, you either stick to the legend or you don't. If you want us to play the Lost, then we play the Lost as kind of loners or small little groups, going mad because there's not 20, 30, 50 changeling around us who can share their experiences. There's just us. So it would have been, we'd fall out of this mirror and like, where are we? And there isn't like, you know, two Lost to greet us going, oh yeah, this happens. You just came through this window, this mirror. And mirrors are reality things. Maybe we find this like homeless guy who's a fairy as well. And he's just mad. Yeah, and he's just raving and we don't know. And then we're like, what are the rules in this world? But we were like kind of being shown, these are the rules. And that's not a fault of the story. I think that was the fault of the system. Is you like, well, there are set rules in this system.
I'll kind of put some of the blame of that on me, and that perhaps I focused a bit too much on.
Okay. Rant over, sorry.
No, I was going to say, what you're saying makes perfect sense. And
I don't know what I said.
I agree.
My mouth was going, I was seeing red.
Red mist. So, part of that falls on my shoulders as the GM, because one thing, at times I think I lost focus about telling a story, rather than sort of getting you guys up to speed on the rules.
But then once we learned the rules.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. When we were in the dark,
it was fine. It's once we started to learn the rules that things started to break down. Because we're like, so why you do that then? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, which can be hard. The other thing I think
the rules exposition could have been entirely passed over.
Okay. Well, I was going to say the other thing, at least with the courts, is coming from a vampire. Because we had just sort of finished, well, we were actually playing Vampire at the same time for a little bit. In that one, all their covenants are very separate, right? Kind of they don't interact with each other all that much, or they're all out for power for themselves.
Right.
So there are a lot of sort of political machinations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think I was still in that mode when I was presenting the courts to you.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, why did it? Because a question that came up is, oh, so what? Why do you willingly give up power and switch to another season? What kind of rules are you? If you're only in power for 3 months, what laws do you establish for all the Lost?
Right.
And do those laws just get overturned in the next season? No, that's not my problem. The problem is since you brought up Vampire, in Vampire, there is not necessarily this big boogeyman of, and Vampire, I should say, in Vampire the Requiem, in Vampire Masquerade, you do have like these uber vampires that are perhaps the boogeyman. And Vampire Requiem does as well. But it's not
but
like...
they're not a necessary part of the story.
They're not a necessary part of the story, and you very much see a lot of conflict within the vampires. So having these separate organizations, political organizations in conflict makes sense. But again,
when you have a boogeyman, you should all work together.
Should all work together, but then it's just, again, it came to the fact that they took the courts from Legend and from their previous version of the game, and they said, oh, we're going to divorce that from fairies, the fairyland, mm-hmm. and say that this is a lost-only thing, and that does not come across. So you're like, where did you come up with these seasonal courts? Mm-hmm. And they were like, fairies of legend. You're like, well, why are you aping the fairies? Why can't you just have a normal system?
Yeah, why don't you vote?
Yeah,
I think you have.
Why don't you not gather so that they can't find you?
Yeah,
yeah, all right, that's a good point. I think they probably did it from a mechanical standpoint.
They can follow the World of Darkness template laid down in Vampire Requiem, repeated in Werewolf, mm-hmm. repeated in Mage. And here, I don't think it works so much. The courts itself works, but it doesn't work with the lost concept, because you're trying to not be fairies, so you're doing something that. People don't have seasonal courts. That only comes from fairies. So you're saying, well, the Lost kind of came up with this by themselves. Why would they do that?
So
why would you latch onto that?
Yeah.
Where is the only example? Well, from fairies of legend, but the actual fairies don't do that. Well, no. Well, then you still wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Back to the rant.
Back.
Oh, so anyway, so kind of
rant pause. So yeah. Long to go back. To
I know,
this,
which is why I'm going to move on to another point. But so. Similar to what we said in Vampire.
Tacked on. So, sorry, just to finish that rant. Tacked on.
It's not done yet?
Tacked on, yeah.
It was tacked on. It was a mistake that they made, and I think it breaks down.
So if you were...
And I was... Sorry. In Vampire, there's something that you have to be careful with. And actually, probably in all the World of Darkness systems, yeah, Mage as well, is you can't have too many in the world. Mm-hmm. And there is a temptation when you play Vampire the Requiem, or if you play Mage, is to start populating it with different mages, or populating it with different vampires, to the point where you have a bartender who's a vampire when in a vampire club, and you think, not every employee of this vampire club has to be a vampire.
Right.
Just remember that. Not every employee in a changeling club has to be changeling. It's probably best just to have the owner. As the Lost, or perhaps if you want to play up the victim and descent into madness, maybe one of the strippers in this changeling, there happened to be a
as opposed to both, which is what I had.
It's a straight strip club. That person is descending into madness, and they're a stripper, and they think they're performing in front of Carnegie Hall or something like that. Well, and that, for example,
I don't know. I think like in your story, the strongest points of all were the NPCs. I think they're all really well played and developed. They maybe weren't, I think as you described, Lyle, they were kind of self-help groups kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they weren't inspiring, but they were...
Oh, I'm not criticizing any of the NPCs. I'm just saying
club thing is, you say, like, maybe just have the owner, but I thought it made sense to have these various changelings grouped together and working at a strip club, because if they feed on emotion, then that's a great place to inspire that.
In a sense, but then... And again, I'm not critiquing any of the NPCs that were in this story, but then it's like, that's like, they group together in the straight club.
That's all there is.
Yeah, if that's all there was, then that's fine. But then they're all connected to these court systems, so they have a massive support there. And it just seemed like there was so many of these Lost within Los Angeles. Mm. And they had so many different, the population was so large, they could have different freeholds or different kingdoms.
Companies, you know, they're running. Yeah.
So even Los Angeles was divided into separate kingdoms.
But which got confusing.
I think one of the things was, if you say that the game is about this kind of descent into madness, or like a balance on a knife edge, I don't think I ever really perceived that with any of the NPCs. No one seemed crazy. Or no one seemed in danger. Well, everyone seemed to have their own support group. And they built it themselves.
So that's good. There's two points here. I'm not sure where to go. So if we do reboot Changeling, I think the vote would be no courts.
That would be one thing.
That would be one thing, which is okay. So I guess we solved that. The other thing is okay. If there was one guy who
was crazy,
kind of the kind of dog-like guy that ran away from you.
Oh, yeah.
And again, if everybody else is pretty sane and you got Crazy John, you're not going to associate with Crazy John.
Yeah.
If Crazy John is the only one telling you the rules, then you're like, wow. Because we had like this very altruistic NPC named the Bishop, who was quite willing to read from the Changeling rulebook. Any question? And there happened to be one session where Chris was asking him a lot of questions, and I just because it felt like we were just getting the rule book read to us.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, let's stop and let's pretend that we're more paranoid or something. But, yeah, again, so Crazy John was quite easy to ignore because there was like 50 other different laws that we could
talk to.
And everyone said, yeah, you don't really want to talk to Crazy John. He's crazy.
Can you kill these fairies? Yeah. Okay, how do you kill the fairies? Mm. Wow, just with a sledgehammer. All right, well, that seems pretty easy. So then
it was a special cold iron sledgehammer. But getting back to the crazy thing, how do you show crazy? That this has come up in other podcast episodes, like the creepiest kind of crazy is
how do you show crazy? Yeah, how do you show
that Postman example? I mean, I'm saying it now, but I'm not. I don't know if I'll be able to support it well, but, you know, have the characters go up against some kind of monster or fairy creature and afterwards find out that it wasn't, in fact, a monster or fairy creature. You just dreamed that.
So, that's a good idea. Yeah. And I've discussed this in the morality episode. Clarity, sort of that the mechanical way that people can differentiate, the change in characters can differentiate reality from fantasy.
So for people who are more familiar with other World of Darkness systems, right, it's the morality or humanity thing, the higher,
even
the more.
Doesn't fit well, yeah.
Yeah, the higher your clarity, sort of the better you can.
Can I say why it didn't make sense?
I thought I was getting to it, but okay, go ahead. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Why it didn't make sense?
Okay, so if you look at the World of Darkness morality, if you have the standard morality out of 10 is 7.
Right.
That's a normal person. Somebody who's like Jesus Christ would be 9 or 10. Mm. And somebody who's like a serial killer would be like 2.
Yeah.
Now, my character happened, and I don't want to get too much into my character, but he happened to be quite willing to steal from other people. Mm-hmm. So he would have a morality of 6. So, and that means when you then change it to the changeling system, it means he has a clarity of 6.
Which means he's less sane than
someone. Less sane, but then I was like, well, I'm quite aware that stealing is wrong. Mm-hmm. I just tend to do it. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that thieves are crazier?
Right.
So that's where it didn't translate well.
I agree with you
but
on that.
You separated the scales. You gave a separate morality to clarity scale, right?
Yeah. That was the goal. It never really worked out. Yeah. But I agree. I think clarity is the weakest of the
morality traits. It has to assume that the lower you go down is if you're killing somebody. I mean, I guess it works when you go on the very low end of the scale and you're a serial killer. You probably are.
Crazy.
Yeah. Because why are you killing all these people? Because that's not, this is wrong, but I need to feed steal this loaf of bread to eat.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm suddenly crazy. You know, why wouldn't I pay that?
So I agree that the
these prices are crazy.
Come back. It's like crazy. Giving them away.
So I agree. The mechanics kind of felt shoehorned in there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
But then all of the players, all the characters had a relatively high clarity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I felt like I would have been cheating you if I started to make you go insane. Like if I started, feeding you this sort of misinformation about what your guy sees or what he hears, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, you guys are clarity 7. What does that mean when you get down to like 2?
Well, what's the point of this story? Because I think we're just contrasting a lot with vampire. I think it's the more familiar system with most people. But yeah, the blood thing, you don't shoehorn it in because they have to feed, and you have to deal with that because you're using other people as food, and deal with that. And how does that affect your morality? How does it affect your humanity, which is their system? Are you becoming more of a monster because you're feeding? And here, I don't know what was
the
kind
way
of
it's,
forcing you to
the way
deal
it's
with
presented
your
or the way it's supposed to work is kind of the farther down clarity you slip, the more you remember about your time spent in fairy and until the point where when you hit 0, you're absolutely convinced that you never even escaped, and this is just another fabrication. Of your fairy keepers.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It's kind of like that movie Inception where you can't figure out that you're in a dream or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
My point was crazy is hard to show.
Well, no, it's not so much it was crazy as hard to show because, there's that one example that Chris gave is you manipulate it. I think crazy is hard to show in this system because you have a clarity system that's basically been taken from another game. Or yeah, it's of course within the same world.
And also because you don't have a line that says this is crazy, this is not crazy. Like we said before, hearing voices in the real world is crazy. Hearing voices in the changing world, maybe not crazy.
But not you guys have good points. Not to defend it, but I think that's supposed to be point of the game. The point of the game is crazy is a gray scale that goes from white to black, and there kind of is no dividing line.
So then,
you're saying
they have a scale.
Yeah,
it's funny. They're saying, well, there's no scale. It's all shades
of
gray. But here's the scale.
There's a scale.
Here's the crazy scale.
There's no actual breaking point.
There's no
line.
No, there is lines. There's like 7, 6, 5, 4. So they're saying, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of like, here's what our intention is, but here are the rules that we've kind of are forced to use. So you can't tell those stories. You feel like you're cheating the players and cheating the system by
the system
saying
you're
crazy. Mm. Yeah. But the system is cheating you because it's saying there is no scale. You know, the players are going to be like fighting reality, but then they've got a lot of support.
I think it could be fun to maybe take the fairy world from being like this this kind of this magical realm of the fairies to make it madness, almost like in the Cthulhu universe.
That's supposedly what it's supposed to be.
But it seems
remember, like, yeah, no, and also when they were saying, oh, we can't understand the motivations of these fairies, and you're saying, well, why not? Because they have the same emotions you have.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, they want slaves. They like pleasure. So now we can, what, we
there's
can understand that.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Lovecraftian idiot gods that they just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
And they're calling them idiot gods. And that seems like oxymoronic. Like, how can it be a god? Because we're familiar with like omniscient and omnipotent. We can't fathom that.
Right.
So then that becomes a very strange god. Yeah. Or they don't have motivations. They're just colors.
Yeah.
Come down from the sky, and why are we afraid of colors? What is it doing?
Yeah, if you put that with a scale, because that way, then it's not a matter of questioning, like, am I going crazy because I'm experiencing these things? But because I'm experiencing these things, it means I am going crazy. I'm falling back into that insane, that world.
Yeah, and they were kidnapping. They want him to be, like, physical labor. So they kidnap this child and raise it to be, like, an ogre.
Mm.
And because they want physical labor. They take this beautiful child and raise it to be like a sex slave because they like pleasure.
It's very delicious, but it's...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're just bad. They're evil. But people can understand evil, usually. I mean, sometimes you'll go, why would somebody do that? But then you can... like a pedophile.
But it is still evil.
A pedophile. Like, I mean, that's horrific. Why...
Sorry. Not laughing.
Hey,
I'm not condoning it. I'm not laughing because I condone it at all. Sorry.
But you think that person wants to have sex with an 8-year-old child. Now you could go, I don't understand why they would want to have sex with an 8-year-old child, but you understand the need to have sex. So you already...
Yeah, and you understand that they have that desire. So for them, that is their motivation.
So you know that they're human. They're despicable. Mm-hmm. You can even say that they're a monster, but you can't say, I can't understand where he's coming from. I mean...
You can.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, like, kudos to you. You tried with the dream stuff.
I'm going to do it. Who are you talking to?
Oh, sorry. Kudos to Wayne.
There's the hug.
You gave us little slips that had little bits of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was good.
That was
we
really
could have done that. But then it was like, yeah, we had bits of memory. And then we had the huge support system of NPCs. So then we just ignored these slips after. Because we were like, oh, okay, so tell us more about the hedge. Tell us more. And then they had the goblin market.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you associating with these goblins? Aren't they fairies? Well, yeah, but they're different kinds of fairies, and we can't really understand. I'm like, okay, so you've just escaped from fairies, and you keep going back to this border realm called the hedge, to the point you're building residences there, and you're going to this other part in this border realm called the goblin market to make deals with goblins who are going to try to take advantage of you, and everybody's like, oh, be careful in the goblin market, you know.
Mm.
Well, then don't go. You know, what?
Well, I don't know. That's, like...
On the one hand, that's very interesting.
Yes.
On the other hand...
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense why you would go back. And that I was trying to play my character as, like, why would we go back?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you build a residence in this border realm? Aren't you one step closer to these fairies that you're supposed to be worried about?
Mm-hmm. I didn't really have a problem with that part of it, because I saw... the hedge, the border world, and the fairy realm to be separate things. Kind of the hedge was one step closer to reality, and that it had a semblance, it had a physical world, whereas maybe the fairy...
But it was one step closer to reality, but it's also one step closer to the fairies. Mm, right. So if you're so afraid of fairies, why be one step closer?
Like, my character's idea was that he was going to go with, he was going to use what he gained through the experiences with the fairies, which would include the magic and things of the hedge. But, yeah.
Well, but then again,
that's why it exists.
I mean, sure, but then where's the madness?
And that's the thing, though. There wasn't.
Right. So you go to Goblin Market, and it was like going to a harborfront market.
The hedge didn't seem to be dangerous, and it should have. I think it's like going there is just tempting to the madness.
Well,
it's like feeding a vampire.
I guess maybe again that's more on me. You had two experiences in the hedge. One that was during a dream. One during the Goblin Market, and the dream you had, the things that chased you were pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
And you played it well. Like, I don't think it was on you, because you did a lot to say, like, if you step off this path here, that's dangerous. You're going to get lost. You're going to die. I think one of the NPCs were telling us that. So you did present that well, but the whole concept never seemed that bad.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to say
It's like somebody, if we, you know, just get an analogy maybe people are more familiar with. If you're talking, magic is dangerous. And you got to be careful with magic. And then you play a world like Eberron, where magic is everywhere, then people are not going to believe that. Right. But if you play a game like Conan, where, you know, only evil people and hermits are using the magic, then you will believe it. Yeah. And here it was like, yeah, the hedge is dangerous. You got to be very careful. All right, now we're going to go shopping in the hedge.
Yeah.
And you're like, why would I do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's, and then there was like a cafe. In the Goblin Market?
Yeah, hot dogs.
Yeah, so you're like, why would I eat that? You know, why would I eat here? Like, there was a lot of questions. I think, I guess maybe the madness is the system doesn't match the setting, so it's mad! But I think...
Whoever wrote this, they must be crazy!
This stuff's gold! No, man, who's gonna tell them that it's not?
It's just shaggy guy in an office with a pen.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Oh, it was like, yeah. And like I said, go back into that letter carrier getting like killed by the crazy person. When you say that story, you're like, wow. Or you go, dark fairy tales. And actually, I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't go, wow, dark fairy tales. I'm dying to play dark fairy tales. But I can actually see when Chris went, great. Oh, that sounds so awesome. I can understand why he said that. Like when I read D&D... 3.5 D&D's Heroes of Horror.
Oh, yeah.
And they said one good source of horror stories is fairy tales. Yeah. Because, yeah, you fight like a regular giant. Yeah, that can be quite mundane for players in a D&D setting. But let's think about, you know, the giants of fairy tales. They're eating children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fee-fi-fo-fum, you know.
Yeah.
You know, grind his bones to make my bread. And you're like, that guy is like, you know, because he looks human, like, think about that in a cannibalistic sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looks like a person, and he's eating people that look exactly like them. You wouldn't want to do that. Like, play that up for horror.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that so much. Well, I did like again, mannequin.
I think that's part of the way I presented it when I.
You're taking too much.
I think you're taking too much of a hit.
Yeah.
All
right. Fine. Well, thank you for.
You
being
did
kind.
A good job. Like it was.
I thought the mannequin was interesting, and if like. So she had an interesting backstory. This mannequin whose body was torn apart. In the fairy world, and now she's slowly trying to reassemble her body. If we had, like, encountered her on her own, and she's just one lost, you know, not... But she was working in a clothing store for the Ice Queen.
And actually, now that you say that, because you were saying, like, why would we go shopping in this Goblin Market? Well, for her, that makes sense. That's where her body parts are. You know, she's got to go there to be whole again.
Yeah, that's all right. So, maybe give our verdicts of the...
Well, I think we all know what your verdict is. no surprise
there. You want to rant again, don't you?
Yeah. I'll start.
Trying to figure out where to start your rant?
No, I'm not going to spend a long time. If you guys come back to me. But if I could start, you actually said you prefer Changeling over the other World of Darkness settings.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say... Why? No, but... You know, I can understand somebody liking fairies more than vampires or werewolves, but I didn't see that when you were playing, and I'm not hearing that in this episode.
And
so if you could just maybe explain, do you recommend Changeling the Lost?
Mm.
And if so, why? Because I'm surprised.
I like the
almost
idea.
Fell out of my chair.
I like the idea of Changeling much more than I like the actual game.
I was actually falling off. Yeah. So, all right.
I've seen a couple.
Wishy-washy. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Because you know, if somebody's listening, should they try it?
That's a no.
That's really hard. Well, like I have ideas. I have not really ideas. I just have more kind of imaginations. I've seen like comic books of like dark reimaginings of classic fairy tales, like Alice in Wonderland and things like that.
Chris read Fables.
Yeah, and I really enjoy those stories. They're really cool. So I would really like to see that for a game, and I don't know of anything that would replace Changeling.
There's Grimm.
Okay.
I haven't played. I haven't looked at the book, but from what I hear, Grimm, you actually kind of play children, mm-hmm. Trapped in a very dark and twisted fairy tale land.
There you go. Then that sounds good. Option. Yeah.
I didn't know if people would want to play children though, because that's the key. The PCs are
much. One of my first ideas was a kid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I said I didn't really want kids.
So
you weren't really sure if you wanted to run a game of children. Yeah. Okay.
I really, really want to enjoy Changeling, but I don't think I really did all that much. But also part of that was the character. I decided, because World of Darkness is a dark game, I wanted to try something out really dark, but it turned out to be a bit too much so.
I think he came across as creepy and secretive, which frustrated other players, Lyle.
And it definitely wasn't good for
as opposed to dark.
It wasn't
that good for party unity.
Especially in a sandbox campaign. Like, I made a character who I really couldn't say that much about my past, and that was just a bad choice for a sandbox game.
I played in this D&D game, and somebody wanted to be the anti-paladin. Mm-hmm. And the dungeon master said, sure. And instead of, like, working with the dungeon master and then saying, well, I'll be a secretive anti-paladin, he wore armor. No joke, exactly like a Chaos Warrior from the Warhammer Fantasy setting. So in other words, evil.
Yeah.
So you might as well just like, you know, put a name tag. Hi, my name is Brad, I'm evil.
Yeah.
And it kind of became difficult because you have to, well, I know you're playing an anti-paladin as a player, and you're very obviously an anti-paladin to my character, but I'm going to hang out
still
with you.
Work with you, yeah.
Yeah, in the party so that you can eventually stab us in the back. Yeah, it was difficult. But your guy was acting so secretive and evil that you were like, and we'll still keep hanging out with you.
Yeah, and really, like, I agree. There's...
And you're in the closet. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there wasn't a good
That's not strange
no,
at
that,
all.
That's not a euphemism.
Yeah.
Not a euphemism. Chris's character actually said, do you have a closet that I can sleep in?
Yeah.
And it was a bad choice for both this game and for a character in general.
I'm going to say thumbs sideways for you.
I don't know. In my mind, I can see it really going well, but I don't know how. Even if I were to do it myself, I don't know what I would do with it. So maybe the idea of Changeling, a dark fairy tale thing, awesome. The game itself, meh.
Okay. Wait.
Actually, Becca, I like the setting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to give it thumbs up with the caveat it's a hard game to run.
Yep.
Right,
and... They have some challenging, like Mage has a lot of good things to it, and it's hard game to run.
I think not having really read Mage, I think Changeling might be probably one of the most difficult White Wolf games to run,
mm-hmm.
because they don't give you a lot of concrete examples. I remember one time, Lyle, your character said, "Yeah, well, give me an example of something the Summer King does." Or give me examples
in character.
Give me examples of why you've kind of adopted this court structure, and it's just kind of not in the book, and to the point where, as a story, I said, shit, I don't know, and then I had to pull something out of my ass, which of course then starts to unravel, which kind of led to all this whole thing. So, it's hopefully some of the stuff we've said, because you made good points about. Mm-hmm. How to show madness, how to do certain things. And I think you sort of brought it up. You found this book, Fables, written by...
comic book.
Yeah, it's a comic book written by Bill Willingham.
Graphic novel.
Yeah, graphic novel, all right. And it's Fables, Legends in Exile. And I guess, spoiler alert, it's this sort of traditional fairy tale characters... in the real world.
I don't think it's a spoiler when it's on the back cover.
Okay, fair enough.
In Fabletown, where fairy tale legends live alongside regular New Yorkers. The question is all anyone can talk about. No.
Because it's who
killed Rose Red. Oh, who killed Rose Red? Yeah, that's the question. All right, well, that's not a spoiler.
Okay, it's not a spoiler. So basically what happened is this sort of thing called the Adversary came and took over Fairy Tale Land, and these are the refugees who managed to escape out into the real world. Mm-hmm. It's very Changeling-esque in that some people kind of have a mask, like the Big Bad Wolf is a character, mm-hmm. but he has a glamour around him that makes him look human. Mm. And it's almost run kind of like a corporation. Or not so much like a corporation, but they're sort of like Snow White is the president, mm-hmm. essentially. And it's almost more like policing their own, making sure everybody is kept in line, so that they don't break cover in the real world. And they even talk about how they have something called the farm in upstate New York, which is where all the non-human characters have to essentially live on this reservation because they obviously can't interact with mortals.
Right.
But I might steal ideas from there.
Like I said, I think there's definitely stories to be told. But So, Lyle, what do you think?
I'll keep it short. Thumbs down.
Well, I didn't expect that short. But all right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the World of Darkness system. So adapting any game for that system is great. And if you want to have like ogres and you want rules how to have ogres alongside elvish characters and elementals.
Then you should use Dresden Files.
then maybe use Dresden Files. There you go. So I guess a firm thumbs down.
Thanks for joining us on Overhands. Check us out online, www.ileredhands.com. Post in our forums, perhaps if you had some good experience with the Changeling, then and we are totally wrong, or something. Yeah. Anyway, bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Road that makes the turn.
Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.